Core Sound's pad loops help worship leaders instantly and easily fill their worship sound, create seamless transitions, kill dead space, and free themselves to focus on worship. Go to Core, C-O-R-E, coresoundpads.com to learn more, try free samples, and get going with pads today. Use promo code NGWB and get 20% off your next purchase.
Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh, and I'm about ready for a big old juicy burger.
You guys are making me so hungry.
That sounds tasty.
Well, we were reading over on Facebook. I saw somebody posted top three burgers in Joplin. There were a ton of comments. Tons and tons and tons
right,
of comments.
Right, right. People have a serious opinion about this.
Oh, they are very opinionated about their burger. Somebody said Red Lobster. How does anyone know what a burger tastes like?
Can you order a burger at Red Lobster?
Apparently you can.
Why? I don't know why you would do that.
Poor person. I hope they're not related to you.
Maybe they just they're allergic to shellfish. Who knows?
Maybe so, right. Maybe they were just like,
if you're allergic to shellfish, why would you even go to Red Lobster?
Or perhaps they're a burger connoisseur and they want to go try every burger in town.
No way.
Well, what's the best burger here?
Best burger in Joplin, in my opinion, Eagle Drive.
Never been there.
Their bison burger is amazing.
I do like bison, though. A bison burger is really good.
Yeah. Do they have some eagle powers going on over there?
Yeah, they're
their eagle powers.
Yeah,
nutrients.
Dude, give me no nutrients.
Well, I have to say, my wife is probably the best cook I have ever met.
That's right.
And
Say it louder.
It is a continual disappointment when we go out to eat because I know that if we had stayed home, it would have been better.
I have to say, I make a pretty mean burger.
Yeah? Do you grill outside? Do you make the burger inside or on the grill outside?
We have done both. Like,
I cannot make a burger on a skillet or a griddle or anything.
The way to do it is with like a George Foreman grill.
Right.
Because you have to cook the bottom and the top at the same time so you don't overcook it. And you have to use kosher salt because the salt actually is what gives it a nice crusty exterior.
What?
Yes, I'm not even joking.
Man, you know what? I just had a vision.
You come over for lunch?
No. Yeah, that too. Yes, put that on the list. But also, we need to make a cooking show with Haley.
Yes,
Haley needs to have her own cooking show.
But I mean, nothing beats the outdoor grill.
Right.
And when I say outdoor grill, I don't mean propane. I mean charcoal.
Yes.
Real,
and wood chips.
Real charcoal.
Yeah.
Not briquettes that are filled with chemicals.
Right. Yeah. Real charcoal and some hickory smoke. Uh-huh.
And we like big burgers. We like big burgers and we can't.
Haley.
Really, I like big burgers too, but I can't ever cook them all the way through. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
I like mine pink
in the middle.
Yeah, we like it to move a little bit.
No.
It just depends, man. Depends on where you're buying your meat.
Mm. Mm. Well, now that's another discussion because when we make burgers, we make venison burgers.
Yes. Well, actually, I like a mixture.
Now that's a whole different topic.
Have venison, have really good quality grass-fed beef.
Come on.
And you mix it together?
Yes, mix them together.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's the ticket right there.
With a little homegrown bacon.
I would like to experience that at some point if you guys would ever invite me over to eat.
Well, we only invite over the people we like.
I know. I'm aware of this. I catch wind of it from time to time of people going over and hanging out at your place and I just sit here at home and cry.
It's because our place is so tiny.
I just cry all the time.
We have this tiny house, but we have a huge table, so I think we can fit you in.
Our kitchen table is almost as big as our whole house.
You can barely get around it.
Yeah, it's true.
It's true. So that's what we're doing. We are crafting burgers, the perfect burger, and we're also crafting a legacy. We're talking about that subject matter today, and a little bit later on in the show, we're going to be talking with the Brentrose from Life of the Family, and we're going to do this for the next couple of weeks, talking about crafting a legacy when we come back. Identity Music is the music publishing arm of Next Gen Worship. We are a family of creatives who love the presence of God, who desire to see the kingdom advance through creativity and music. We are sound artists. Recorded sound has the power to convey emotion, tell stories, and bring the listener into an experience where time stops for a journey of the heart. We are currently completing our state-of-the-art custom audio recording studio, utilizing industry-standard tools at the core of our creative process. We are asking you to partner with us. We have currently connected with a donor that promises to match dollar for dollar all donations made to complete our studio. That means if you contribute $100, it's like giving $200. There are just a few loose ends to tie up before we can start shaping sounds that change history. Help us. Donate today and have it matched at nextgenworship.com.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
I'm sorry, I was in a trance just now thinking about the Eagle drive-through burger. Oh, the bison burger with the Eagle sauce and the fries.
We should cater in next time we tape.
Moving
you know what's
on.
Ironic? We just talked about the best burger in Joplin. And our guests today are vegetarians.
Yeah, we love you, Brentrose.
We do. They make a mean black bean burger.
Yes, that's true.
We went vegan for a season. Vegan for a season.
You know,
maybe that's like a healthy fasting type thing that you
that's
can
a, yeah,
promote.
That's a healthy podcast.
The only time I've ever heard of vegans, it was for a season.
Right? It's true.
Like, yeah. they can't sustain that
unless
lifestyle.
They make a living at being vegan, like they have some kind of YouTube channel or something like that. They,
right.
Where they're forced into keeping
it's part of their brand.
Keeping that going. I don't know. I felt probably the best I'd ever felt in my entire adult life. When
really?
I was eating vegan.
But. You know, I feel the best in my entire life when I'm eating steak and bacon.
and loaded baked potatoes.
Yeah.
And cheesecake. And Eagle Drive 2 burgers.
Well, is it cheesecake vegan? I don't know.
No.
Oh, it's got milk?
No, it's dairy, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yep. But it's totally paleo. Nope, the crust, the graham cracker crust. Can't do it.
Sorry,
there's got to be a vegan paleo version of cheesecake.
Okay,
I'm sure
vegan and paleo don't go together in the same sentence.
Guys, I'm no good at this.
Two different paleo is like caveman, and vegan is like the opposite side of the spectrum.
Yeah, I want to be paleo.
Like,
they
paleo
just eat meat.
Is all meat, animal type things, and vegan
guys,
is all plant.
Yeah. Yes, steak and bacon.
Mm. So you
welcome to the Steak and Bacon Podcast.
Technically, if you don't have any food restrictions, you are paleo and a vegan.
That is what I am. I am a vegan paleo person.
Oh, that's hilarious. So we're going to be talking with the Brentrose from Life of the Family a little later in the show. And next week as well, as we talk about crafting a legacy. Let's dive into this topic and talk a little bit more about it.
Leaving a legacy. This is powerful because what you're doing is not just for yourself. You're doing something for someone else. And in context, you know, with talking with the Brentrose Life of the Family, man, they are family experts and they really love to share the journey that they're on with family. I love what Melissa says. She's like, you know, my kids aren't teenagers yet. So if this all train wrecks, you can go back and see what I did wrong. But
that's true.
So we're sharing in their journey, but it's such a crucial mindset. And I remember even as a younger man starting family and being like, I felt a pull to just live in the moment. It was very hard to think past my life into the next generation, even into my kids' lives. You know, it seems so far away and it's so vague and, you know, it seems like it's untouchable. But through the power of Holy Spirit, we can actually grab on to some kingdom things and be prophetic people, be powerful people, and be so healthy that what we build affects the next generation. What we build affects, you know, people that come after us. And so we talk family today. We're not just talking about our own kids, our own lives. Mm-hmm. Man, we are talking about like-hearted people who are advancing the kingdom together.
Well, and I believe, you know, the moment that you become a parent is the moment that your life needs to stop really being about you. You have to deal with your stuff and then build for the future. You can't waste your time anymore on it being, you know, me, and what I want and what I dream and all this stuff. Because the reality is that you have to be intentional about building a legacy for your family, or it will build itself, and then you will leave them this thing that was not intentionally planned and is probably not healthy. Yeah. Like, you either build it or the world builds it for you. You either parent your children or somebody else is going to raise them, and it'll be, you know, pop culture. It'll be the world around them. So it is very important to be intentional about building a healthy kingdom family legacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the story of history is family business.
Yeah.
This is family business. Like, God created a family and he wanted that family to grow exponentially into the human race.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we have immediate families, but really all humanity is our family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we have to see it that way. We have to really embrace everyone just like God did when he so loved the world that he gave.
Yeah. He gave his what? Son. Yeah.
I think the fastest way to impact the world around us is really through building a healthy family unit.
Yeah. And when you talk about being intentional, like you just mentioned, what comes before intentionality? Value.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to hold a value for family. That means you have to hold a value for people and a value for relationship. And, you know, we've been around long enough and we've heard the marriage experts say that you have to build your marriage. If you don't invest in your marriage, it doesn't grow. It doesn't become something. It just by default goes in the path of the least resistance. So it's the same as true with family. Man, you've got to be present with your family. You've got to start thinking about, especially spiritual leaders, you know, worship leaders, pastors, all of these people, church leaders. We are invested in kingdom. We're invested in our community, but we can't let that remove us from being present with our family. Talking about bringing encounters to our community and changing our cities, but we have to start with our family.
Well, I think if you have a good understanding and a good partnership, and you are amplifying one another's calling in this earth, like because of your union and because of your children, you are now making what your mission is better. I think together, as you carry out building community, that is done together. It's understood. Mm-hmm. A community is as important as any other relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that you accomplish it as a team.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I think it's important to build a functional family system. I think that, you know, as much as we talk about, you know, I came from a dysfunctional this or a dysfunctional that we set standards of, you know, healthy, functional families that will last for generations. And we're a puzzle piece. We're our healthy family unit is a puzzle piece that snaps right into the more broad picture of the God family, which should also be functional. And how healthy is that if we're all, you know, these healthy teams that come together to build something together that's even bigger than ourselves?
When God called Abram, he showed him the stars. He said, your descendants are going to be like this, more than sand on the seashore. And we have to realize that we have nations in us.
Mm.
Yeah.
Talk about legacy. We have nations in us. And everything that we do in our family line here, in our family, everything that we're building, everything that, I mean, our words create worlds. And what we do intentionally here has the power, first of all, to change the destiny of our family line, to change the destiny and change the options for our children.
Mm.
You know, if we're building kingdom and we're building healthy and we're getting great kingdom presence center lives that carry encounter and carry transformation, and we're not wrestling with, does God love me or not? You know, we're not wrestling with these things, but we become sons of God. That is going to give our children options that I didn't have growing up.
Yeah.
The only option I had was to run away and join a rock and roll band and play live music. That was my option. I didn't have anything else. And when we begin to live these intentional lives of kingdom and pour heaven into our kids, we change their options and their children's children's options. What? I don't know, maybe for 1,000 generations. You couple that with a community doing that. You couple that with a nation doing that. Oh, that's powerful.
So ancestry stuff is really popular, and you know, it's kind of neat to look back into your genealogy and figure out who you descend from. And I just think it'd be so cool if, you know, 400 years from now, somebody is delving into that and they find me or they find you and they find inspiration in how healthy we were and how much we valued building the world around us into something great. Like they find greatness in their family history, but it's you and me, you know?
Wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're prophesying to generations today. You were born to change the world.
Yeah. But I think those kingdom seeds are the most important seed we can plant. I mean, not everybody's going to have kids and not everybody's going to have families, not in the traditional sense, but we all do have community.
Yeah.
And planting influential kingdom seeds in people. In fact, that's what Jesus did. He never had kids, never got married, but he planted something that revolutionized the world because he came and he did the Father's will. So as long as we do the Father's will, our families will be healthy, our communities will be healthy. So yeah, let's dive into this a little bit more next week with Brentrose, Life of the Family. They have a blog. Go to lifeofthefamily.com. And Steve's got a blog, Melissa's got a blog, they have a blog for kids. It's kind of sharing their stories and their discoveries along the way and just a transparent look at the life of the family.
They are incredible people.
So we'll be talking with them when we come back. Stick around.
So I've been using pads in worship for like 4 or 5 years. And I remember when they first came out, very popular, like it's a new thing. There's only like one pad set available. So I downloaded them and it's like, wow, this is great. And just by default, I just use those forever. You know, it's like, you know, people come out with different pads and like, hey, this is great. Well, I've already got some. Why do I need new ones? Until we heard about Core Sound pads. And then I checked them out and found out they had all these different varieties. And so I tried them out at the last 24-hour worship gathering that we had in our city. And I was actually going through and finding the actual set of pads that sounded best with the type of music I was doing, the songs I was doing. And that was so awesome because it wasn't, you know, me making do with an ambient pad set in the background that may or may not quite match. And every now and then it sounds like it's off, you know. But when we used the Core Sound pads, man, I was able to kind of tailor the sound I wanted for the set I was doing, which was way beyond anything that I was used to before.
Go to coresoundpads.com. That's C-O-R-E, coresoundpads.com. Use promo code NGWB and get 20% off your bundle today. What would it look like if a whole city responded in unison to the Lord? What would it look like for a city to love God together? Our worship shifts atmospheres and makes it easier for prisoners to be set free. It's time to unite. Started in February 2015 by worship leaders in our area, Unite Worship Gatherings are regional worship events devoted to an extended period of vertical worship and building community. There is no agenda, no preaching. Our focus is fully on His presence. Regional worship leaders, worshiping in the round. Everyone is encouraged to join in as we host the presence of God in a greater way for our region. God's heart is burning for our city. We invite you, our family, to unite the body of Christ. Unite Worship Gatherings are hosted by a different church every month, and we would love for you to be a part. We are in need of technical support and on-site prayer partners. If you have a desire to join forces with like hearts, we invite you to attend our training workshop, March 16th, hosted at Impact Life Church. We will be focusing this workshop on sound design for Unite Worship Gatherings. Find out more at uniteworshipgatherings.com.
Fear is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. This week and next week, we're sitting down with the Brentrose from Life of the Family and talking a little bit about crafting a legacy. And we're excited to have both Steve and Melissa Brintrow on the program with us today.
All right, Steve and Melissa, thanks so much for sitting down with us this week.
Thanks for having us.
We are seated here at your kitchen table doing family things.
Oh, yeah, we're actually having you.
Yeah. So super excited to have this conversation with you guys. We have a lot of really passionate feelings about family and legacy. And of course, you know, we'll be talking about crafting a legacy and can't wait to hear about all those things that you have to say about that. Honestly, love just watching the process that you guys are going through and seeing the life that you're building with your children as a family. But before we jump into all this good stuff, why don't you give us a little story? Who are the Brintrows and what are you guys doing?
Yeah, well, we actually moved to Nashville here about a year and a half ago from Kansas City and really just set out on a new adventure with our whole family. And, you know, we knew God was saying go, and we didn't know what to. We don't know exactly what's happening, but we've got a passion inside of us. We've got dreams inside of us, things that we want to accomplish. And so we just started walking, you know, and started running with God. And it's fun to see everything evolve. So actually, we had a lot of friends who pointed out that they would love more advice on family and marriage and things like that, because they see fruit in our lives from our family.
Every time we shared our story, they'd say, oh, that's so good. You should write that down. And we're at a place in our life in Kansas City. We were really busy and it wasn't the time, but here we had a lot of free time and we have the time to just pursue what feels joyful. And I don't know how many people read what we're writing now, but it is so fun to put into words our story and to form that. It's like...
Well, what are we writing?
We're writing lifeofthefamily.com, kind of a play on Life of the Party. So all about That's our cool. stories, what we're learning as we go. And our kids are 12 and 8, and so I don't know anything about teenagers. I'm just learning as I go. But just writing a lot of our experiences and our beliefs and putting into words the things that we have faith about and that we want to establish with our kids, and some of our tricks and some of our hard lessons we've learned the wrong way, and a lot of the things that we just do together and enjoy one another.
Yeah, and together we're, you know, we've got a dream and a vision of what we want our family and our marriage to look like years from now, but we're working towards that, and it's all experimental. Everything that we do is experimental, but at least we're documenting it as we go. So, you know, like 3 years, 4 years from now, or 20 years from now, if we don't turn out well, then just go to our blog and you'll find out why. So it's...
We're working really hard on just loving Jesus together and winning our kids' hearts day by day by day. And so I know that I will probably look back on some of my blogs and be like, dear Lord. But, you know, we are really enjoying each other and doing it together, the four of us on a page to a degree that we've never had before. And we're really enjoying it.
That's fantastic. Well, let's dive into this conversation we're going to have here, crafting a legacy. Take us on a little bit of a journey here. Tell us your thoughts on crafting a legacy concerning marriage.
Well, this was actually when we got married, however many years ago that was. Do you remember?
Almost 16.
16. I didn't get in trouble for not remembering that. So if you noticed that.
It's almost 16.
Almost 16. So it's really interesting because I'm the one that doesn't have a whole lot of short-term goals, and she has lots of short-term goals. I have long-term goals, and she can't even think like 2 weeks out. Yeah. So
we're a great match. He scares me sometimes, but I keep him on track.
Yeah. Well, so it was a challenge at first because I'm thinking like, hey, this is, you know, I've got all these grand visions of where I want our family to go, you know, like, and who we should be in the long term. And she's looking at me like, what? I got to make dinner tonight. You know, she isn't thinking in that mode. At the same time, I wasn't able to look at the immediate and see like, how can we fix problems that are right in front of us right now? And she's really good at that. And so over the years, that's really blended together. But together, we've been dreaming and scheming our legacy, like who we're going to be and how we're going to get there, and figuring out what we need to do right now to make that happen.
Right.
You know, we were talking about this today, and the trap, I think, with marriages too, is that you fall just into your short-term vision of what you want, because it's usually pain-based. And, you know, because in marriage, you're going to have conflict just because you throw two people in the same house or same apartment, and they're not going to agree on everything.
And they have different expectations. And you do like premarital counseling or whatever, and you try to throw all that stuff out on the table and iron it out. It'll never be enough. You're going to have run-ins with each other where expectations weren't communicated clearly, and it results in a tiff. And I was just telling Haley today how God puts us with people and with your spouse to sharpen your character. Part of that process looks like a lot of friction. So that's what we were running into at times in our marriage.
Lots of friction.
Yes.
lots of discomfort. So the question becomes, how do you deal with that? And a lot of times the trap is that you focus so much on that, that you're just trying to fix your immediate problems to get rid of your immediate pain, and you'll do anything to do that.
Yeah, relieve the pain or whatever.
Yeah. In our society, we function really well, busy, busy, busy. And you don't realize the cost of busyness until sometimes it's too late, unless you're just an exceptional person. I don't see people who grasp it, because it keeps you from looking ahead, so that when you're in pain right now, you just want that to go away. But if you had slowed down your life and been dreaming from the beginning,
oh, wow,
that you wouldn't have run into that pain to the degree or in the manner that you did. And so you have these couples who try to solve the pain, but they're not doing that from a place where they look into the future and say, but this is who we're becoming together. And this pain today is temporary and it's worth it.
Yeah. And I think the why you're dealing with your immediate pain is that long-term vision too. Because if you're dealing with it because it's hurting you and it's uncomfortable, which is the natural thing to do, you're going to fix it in a way that just solves that.
Band-aid.
A Band-aid. But if you're looking with your vision long-term, you're able to say, you know what, if I fix it this way, it's going to create another problem for me years from now, or problems for other people years mm-hmm. from now. But if I, you know, grit my teeth through this, swallow my pride, figure out another way to do this, and really work this out together, make an investment in our marriage together right now, we can have something beautiful in 10 years.
And let me give you a practical example of
that.
Yeah. We used to have arguments or fights, not like knock down, drag out, but tension to its max.
Frying pan.
No. And I would storm out of the room because I didn't want the fight. I didn't want it. I didn't want to hurt him. And I didn't want to listen to what he was saying. So I'd just storm out. Well, that pattern, because we had a long-term vision and we would dream together about what we want, I could see that pattern was not going to work, and I had to figure out a way. And so we learned to table discussions, and I would say, this is too much. And I also learned when to start the discussion. Like, if I'm not ready to sit through it and listen to him, and I should eat first, I should be well rested, I should be calm before I start the discussion, or I enter it into one with him. Or calmly tell him, can we put this on a table and let me come back and let me think about that? Or what I think you're saying is this, so that it doesn't push me to my boiling point.
Yeah, and same for me too, because if she could be frustrated with me about something, and she comes to me right when I'm in the middle of a project, or I work at home, so then I'm like, what on earth? So I've got a meeting in 5 minutes and you're trying to resolve this, you know, marriage crisis right now. No, this is not happening. And then it makes her more upset. So we together figured out, all right, we got to figure out what times, what situations work best where we can sit down uninterrupted, which is sometimes a challenge with the kids, but, you know, uninterrupted, and figure out how you can work it out.
We do morning coffee almost every morning. It's a little tricky with holidays and getting back on track, but morning coffee, I can almost always bet that at 8 to 8:30, 9 o'clock, I'll have his ear. And then our kids go to bed at 9:30-ish. I know that I have an hour, hour and a half at the end of the day that we can do it.
Yeah. So we sit down, we talk through things, and some days I have nothing to say, and some days she has nothing to say, especially if we've been traveling together a long time, then we're like, we have nothing to say to each other. We've seen each other a lot lately. Right. But the important thing is that we give those opportunities to do that. And then, you know, sometimes she'll have some issues that she's working through, and I'll be dreaming. And sometimes it's vice versa. And we work together on that because we can hear each other's dreams, our hearts, our frustrations. And then we know, all right, you know what? If I make this investment right now in my marriage, you know, like for the next month, let's try this to alleviate this problem or to work towards this direction. Then a year from now, our marriage is going to look even better, you know? Yeah.
Right. It's interesting to me that we're talking about crafting a legacy in marriage, but what we're really talking about is taking care of the everyday things.
Yeah.
That's really interesting to me and not necessarily as something I thought of until just now listening to you guys talk.
Yeah.
And it's taking care of the everyday things with a long-term vision. I like that. I like your approach to, I'm not just fixing this right now for today. I'm fixing this right now for the future.
Yes.
Yeah, right on.
That's really powerful. And you didn't say the D word, but you were talking.
And we don't.
Right. You were saying a lot of things that could save marriages.
We actually were talking earlier today between ourselves about, I called it just off the flip, microwave family, where you think it comes cheaply and you get married, have a kid. I don't want to say thoughtlessly, but not to the depth of thought and that you should put into it. And then when the going gets rough and you're in that painful spot, because you're not looking ahead and because you think it's cheap and easy, you might think you're thinking through a divorce, but I don't think you are, because you're headed to a world of pain that never ends versus working through something that is painful right now. And I know that process. I know that process is ugly and painful and hard and scary. And my heart goes out to you. Believe me, I get it. I've watched it. I've seen it. I know it hurts. But I also know how much divorce hurts your legacy in the long run and how it shortens the path for people who are watching you to do their own divorce. And I've also seen the restoration of God with people who thought they couldn't get through something. And if it's not abuse, if you have two good-hearted people who love the Lord and they have good hearts and good intentions, God has something to work with 100% of the time. If it's a good-hearted man and a good-hearted woman, God can do it.
Yeah, well said, well said. I want to come back next week and talk about this some more. And I want to just talk about family again, too. But before we go, mention again Life of the Family and your guys' articles that you write and help us connect people with you.
Yeah, so check out lifeofthefamily.com. That's a collection of blog articles. And some of them are fun, some of them are deep, you know, and we travel a lot. So some of them are, a lot of them are birthed in the car. We're like, oh, hey, we should write about this. Or a really funny thing happens while we're on the road and we've like, all right, let's throw that in the mix. But it's fun, it's entertaining, but it's something that brings strength to your family, strength to your marriage, and check it out.
Yeah, love it. Thanks, guys.
So good to have our friends from Life of the Family with us today, and we're going to revisit with them next week. More to come about crafting a legacy on the Next Gen Worship broadcast. Tune in next week as we explore the Father's heart to find out what He wants for our generation and the generations to come. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.